Well, Donald Trump and Kim Kardashian have one thing in common as far as I'm concerned. They're both annoying the hell out of me.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I used to like it, now I don't.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show!
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you? Are you really all right? I'm concerned about you to some extent. No, not really. That's why you have loved ones around you, so that they can take care of your needs, not me. Come on now. But we do spend a certain amount of time together every day, don't we? That sounds a little awkward. Anyway, hey, here's a suggestion for you. It comes under the category of, what are you wearing?
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today?
Right, everybody now.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
Well, that's none of your business. However, I went over to a friend's house yesterday. I don't see this. Well, okay, I've already misused the term. It's a Facebook-y kind of friend. It's an acquaintance. It's somebody that I know of exists. We're not friends. If I were in trouble, this person would not come to my aid, and vice versa. We're both expendable in each other's eyes. There's a guy that I knew who has a collection of things. So he invited me with things. It's a collection of books that I'm somewhat interested in. So he said, hey, stop by sometime. And I was in a neighborhood, and I actually stopped by. I had a momentary lapse of being social. It doesn't happen often, and it is a lapse of judgment, believe me. This guy is a cat person. I got to tell you something about cat people. And it's not like they turn into cats at midnight. They just love cats. I get it. I mean, I love all animals, except for those little slugs, you know, that get into your garbage in the summer and it turns to these white little sluggy kind of wormy kind of things like larvae. That I don't like so much. I've never kept any of those as a pet. But I like cat people. I used to have cats. When I lived in New York City, we couldn't have a dog because they didn't allow it in the apartment building, but I could have cats. I had a couple of cats, and I was a cat person. And when you become immersed as a cat person, cats are really wonderful. Socially, I love cats because they don't give a crap about me, and I don't really give a crap about them, and we coexist. I don't have to walk my cat. I don't have to do anything. The cat just says, thanks for letting me live here. Have a good day. And throw some food on the floor every once in a while in a bowl. It doesn't, you know, just put like a large amount. Just open up the whole bag. I'll come eat some of it when I want to. And then I'll piss on your rug and everybody's happy. You know, so I don't know. And the cats actually go in a litter box. Dogs don't go in litter boxes. You have to walk them. You have to let them out. But cats, they go to the bathroom, literally. The litter box is their toilet. You just have to empty it every once in a while. They're really very simple and very wonderful animals. And if you happen to get a hold of a good cat, then you've got a companion. The cat will sit in your lap. It'll purr. It'll, you know, something sleeping next to you is very calming. Somebody talking next to you incessantly is very nerve-wracking. People sitting next to you and they're just like not saying anything and just keeping themselves very, very calming, especially when they're sleeping. So I think cats are wonderful, wonderful animals. I really do like them a lot. But they have one problem. Well, also, cats, either they're great cats or they're horrible cats. Either they're warm up to you and love you and be gentle with you and cuddle with you, or they'll scratch your eyes out as soon as you touch them. Cats are very moody. Cats are, I guess, constantly ovulating or always have their period. They're just bitchy. They're bitchy. Unless you get a good cat. Good cat, bad cat. Good cat, bad cat. So anyway, what does this have to do with clothing? Well, I'm going to get to it if you just stop bothering me. If you have a cat, I don't care if it's short hair, long hair, medium hair, no hair, kinky hair, soft hair, balding, I don't care. Never wear black, ever, 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 ever. And that's why it's difficult to own a cat. You can't wear dark colored clothing or dark clothing because every cat hair will stick to your dark clothes like a magnet. And wherever you go, whatever you do, you are wearing a gigantic sign on your face that says, I own cats. The other thing about owning a cat is that you don't realize it, but your house stinks. Wherever you live, whether it be in an apartment or a house, if you own a cat or two, you don't know it, but your place stinks. It stinks of urine. Now, cat piss is smelly. And if you don't change the litter box every 10 minutes, your place stinks. It doesn't stink to you. It stinks to other people. It's very similar to garlic. When you eat garlic, you go, that was very, very tasty. And then you smell like a lung porous bath of crap. Your breath could knock over a horse coming at you at 100 miles an hour. I don't know what that analogy meant, but you know what I'm talking about. It's very offensive. You never smell it on yourself. You can't smell your own breath. It's an enigma. I don't know why we're made like that, but we can't smell our own stink. So I'm just telling you, if you own a cat or two, you don't know it, but in all cases, without exception, your living place stinks. I'm just saying, and I don't know if that's healthy for you or not. I'm just saying. Your clothes have cat hair on them always. You can't wear black because it will show up like a flashing neon sign. It's a shame, too, because black is very slimming. So, although cat people don't seem to eat very much, cat people are always quite thin. So I guess they don't need to wear black. But my point is, I have no point. Just don't wear black if you have cats.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today?
Here's an interesting story. I'm sorry. My nose is itchy. I have allergies. I told you I did. Oh my God, did I have allergies last night? I was sneezing up a storm. I went through like 17 boxes of tissues. This is why people go to Costco for the tissues. They're all people who have allergies. This story is fascinating. I don't know whether to embrace this woman or chastise her. Well, let me tell you what I'm talking about. This is a story that appeared on My Joy Online. I don't know what that is, but this is where it appeared. About 28 years ago, Carmen Jimenez from Madrid, Spain. Well, name sounds like that. Carmen Jimenez from Madrid, Spain, became completely blind due to a serious eye injury. That's very sad.
Aww.
But she wasn't. She was lying. At least that's what she told everyone, including her own family, because she was tired of having to say hello to people she didn't actually want to say hello to. Now, I don't know whether to marry this woman or have her imprisoned, because on one hand, this is brilliant. This is brilliant. You don't have to greet anybody. You don't have to see anybody walking by because they think you're blind. They don't expect you to see them or to stop and say hello. It's brilliant. If you're antisocial, raise your hand if you're antisocial. Not a lot of us. Include myself in that group. Although I can see rather well, so. Or she's got an extreme social disorder, and that wouldn't be good. She's a 57-year-old woman. She recently revealed that she had always been able to see perfectly, which left her family in shock, even though they had always suspected that something was a little strange about her blindness. Her husband told reporters that she would put on her makeup perfectly, and sometimes they would see her trying to look at the TV from the corner of her eyes, but she never admitted to faking her blindness, that had it, until just recently. But what on earth would cause someone to fake their blindness for nearly three decades? Carmen apparently did it to avoid having to greet and talk to people that she didn't actually like. She said, I was tired of meeting people on the street and stopping to say hello. I feel you, honey. I've never been a very social person, but by pretending to be blind, I was able to avoid many social responsibilities. Ouch, that's crazy. Apart from having to explain to her family why she lied to them for so many years, and meeting the very people she was trying so hard to avoid, Carmen Jimenez is also facing legal problems, because having registered as a blind person, she has received special financial aid. Uh-oh, Carmen, you in trouble now. News of Carmen's mind-blowing deceit went viral on Latino news sites in both Europe and South America. It's downright preposterous to believe that someone could fake blindness for so long without anyone noticing. Plus, doesn't the government test people before offering them financial aid for blindness? Why can't I say that word? There is also no real proof that Carmen Jimenez actually exists, just the article, which was later picked up by two other news outlets. I'd really be surprised if it turns out to be true, said this magazine, but if it does, this will probably be the craziest thing anyone has ever done. So there's a question as to whether the story is actually true, whether this woman, Carmen Jimenez, actually exists. So I looked her up on Facebook to see if she does, and I found out her Facebook page. What's wrong with me? Why can't I talk today? I found out that her Facebook page is in Braille. That's strange. Well, Carmen, you've given me an idea, and that is to fake laryngitis. Yes, indeed, I'm going to start faking laryngitis. I do have allergies, so it's theoretically possible that the phlegm, P-H-L, could get stuck in my throat causing me not to be able to talk very well, therefore promoting an excuse of laryngitis. That way I wouldn't have to talk to anybody. If they said, "Ron, let's have a conversation about me so I can talk to your face," I'd point to my throat and I'd go,
"I can't speak."
And they would just get away from me quickly. Now, that wouldn't work for me because I do a talk show on a daily basis, and that would screw up my livelihood. So I can't do that one, but I can do this one that would really work well. I have some type of a terrible cold. I could get away with that because, again, I do have allergies every once in a while. So I'm not lying, really. People will not want to get close to me if I have a cold. They won't even want to hang out in the same room with me. They won't even want to shake my hand. They'll make an excuse to get out of my aura as fast as possible before I spread this horrible disease to them. And if that doesn't work, all I need do is put out a fake sneeze or conjure up an allergetic sneeze. That will get them running like there's an evacuation flood. I'm telling you, this is going to work. Now, don't tell anybody that I'm going to do this, because then it won't, they'll see right through it. So this is just between you and me, okay?
Shh. Quiet. Don't tell anybody. Quiet. Don't tell anybody.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
What's the point? Hey, I do this every single weekday. I hope that you do join me every single weekday, unless it's a holiday, then I'm really not into it. Please make me a habit. If you're a nun who happens to be great at being a tailor, then make me a habit. We can be heard on many, many factions. The Podbean Network, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, on your Alexa thing in your house, your Amazon Alexa Echo, we can conjure us up from there too. In many, on every smartphone, in many cars, we're just all over the place. If you go to the bathroom and lift up the lid on the toilet, I could be in there. I also tend to hang out in your litter box. I don't know why, but I do. If you tell your friends about, I swear I can't talk today. What's going on? If you tell your friends about the program, there is actually no monetary award whatsoever to you. But please tell them, because that would be really nice if you did something like that. And doing something nice for me, I don't know. It's good for me. Hey, here's a fun idea. Take out your smartphone and take a photo of what you're eating, what's on the plate in front of you, your lunch or your dinner. Go to your Facebook account and post it on your Facebook and make all your Facebook friends wonder what's wrong with you. There are a lot of people graduating this time of year, high school, and it's time to send them off to college, whether it be next year or maybe, you know, in the fall. I really don't know what the hell you're doing. But you got to get your kids into college, because everybody knows if you don't have a college diploma, you will curl up and die. You're socially a misfit. And as I said so many times, those with college educations, they're usually behind the counter at Burger King, while plumbers and electricians who simply went to a trade school are blowing your socks off. They are the people that say, you want me to come over to your house? That's $100 just for me to show up, plus whatever work I do in your house. But it's $100 just for me to show up. That doesn't require a college education. It just requires a skill. Go to a trade school and shut up. Let's stop with this college education crap. I've said so many times before, take like $120,000 out of your checking account. Give it to the college financial office. They'll give you a diploma. Let's cut out the middleman. Why go to college? So you can learn how to drink and do drugs and have sex with people and haze each other and party all night. Is that what we're paying for? Is that the college experience? Well, yes, it is. Let's stop this crap. If you have a thirst for education, you're going to have a thirst for education. If you have a thirst to learn, you're going to have a thirst to learn, and you're going to learn, and you're going to get educated. There's many courses you can take. You don't have to get a four-year diploma to stand behind a counter at a fast food joint. Let's stop kidding ourselves. Unless you want to be a doctor or a lawyer, there's really no point to all of this. And good luck being a lawyer or a doctor. I mean, seriously, maybe you'll make a little bit of money, but, you know, only if you have your own practice, and that doesn't happen all that often. You'll be paying for your college your college loans until you're 80 years old. What kind of system is this? It's a system of crap. However, in mainstream life, a family wants their child to go to the best university, the best college possible, which is always not, I mean, that cost is, going to Harvard costs as much as it does to going to other private schools that you never heard of. It's all like $30,000-$40,000 a year, which is like, seriously? Come on, man. Most of you don't even make that much money in a year from your job. So your kids got to get scholarships or some kind of financial aid. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because there are a lot of parents. And I say to the parents, get your heads out of your asses and stop being so socially mobile with sending your kid to the best school. It doesn't matter if you can't do anything with it. Just teach your kid to have a thirst for knowledge, and you'll be fine. Okay, that kind of goes a little too far probably, but whatever. Let's speak to our first guest about this stuff.
Hi, Ron.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Dr. Nicole Hurd is joining us, founder and CEO of College Advising Corps. It's the time to, is this an early application time or about the time that you should start thinking about it?
This is a time to do both. So this is a time to make sure that we do not waste that summer and don't have summertime blues, but really have a proactive, let's get this college search done.
Yeah, because it can be pretty exhaustive. It sounds like it's going to be okay, and it gets a little bit more involved than one thinks sometimes.
Well, it's one of those moments where being prepared is going to be the best thing you can do because, as you know, school starts and all of a sudden there's classes and sports and all sorts of things going on. So we want you to take the summer to practice for your SAT. There's actually, for the first time ever, an August administration of the SAT on August 26th.
Oh.
We want you to start thinking about essays and searches, but this is the time to make sure juniors, that you're ready for your junior, seniors, you're ready for your senior, and parents, you're ready to support those students.
And tell me why the SATs are so important, why that makes such an influence.
Well, they're important for a few reasons. One, as you know, many colleges require some kind of college entrance examination, and mm-hmm. the SAT is one of those options. But the SAT also unlocks all sorts of opportunities. There's ways that the SAT can unlock financial aid opportunities and scholarships. Some universities and colleges use it for course placement. And because the SAT has really pivoted, it now is a test that really measures your knowledge of things you're already learning in high school. Mm-hmm. There's no need to be afraid of it. It's actually an exam that you can practice for, and it's an exam that's reinforcing what you're learning in high school.
Is there a situation where the early bird catches the worm?
There's absolutely a situation where the person that starts practicing early is going to have a bigger impact. So to give you a good example, this SAT, official SAT practice site that I want everybody to look at in partnership with the Khan Academy, if you start early, and all I'm asking you for is 3 hours a week this summer, if you get 20 hours of practice in, your score can go up 115 points.
Wow.
So yes. Yes. So you want to start early. And again, that's two movies, right, a week. So I want you to give up or watch Wonder Woman a little bit later and make sure that you get that SAT practice in now.
Right.
Because you don't want to be crunching in September, October. You want to practice this summer and then take that August test so you'll have the scores in September.
Okay. So kind of watch the SAT movie.
Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. Hey, maybe you should make an SAT movie. That'd be pretty cool.
Quite a blockbuster.
Yeah, it would be a blockbuster. It would be very well received. Okay, how do parents get involved in this? I mean, I know the kids want to go to the best college possible, but the parents are really looking for some scholarships and also for the success of their child.
Well, and so the research shows, and this is actually very interesting, that the parent is the biggest influencer on a student's decision. You know, everybody thinks about peers or teachers or counselors, but it's really mom and dad. And so, you know, I would say as a fellow parent of a teenager, it's really about finding the best match and fit for your child. So where's the right academic school? Where's the right affordability and financial aid fit? And where's the right social fit? And if you can hit all three of those boxes, that's where your young person should be thinking about going
to
school.
I mean, the parents would do this for the kids if they could. They go to college for them. But this is, I mean, these messages are really for the parents because these are your kids and, you know, yeah, maybe they're going to be motivated, but we're talking to the parents here, aren't we?
Absolutely. Again, you know, parents are the biggest influencer, and if a parent can say, hey, look, we can go to the movies, but you need to get that practice in, or, hey, we need to go, you know, do something fun this summer, but have you started writing your essay? Those moments will take so much stress off this fall. So, again, mom and dad, if you can make sure you can incentivize some college application searches, you know, there's some great websites, real quickly, Ron, to tell everybody about. One is bigfuture.org. Where people can compare schools and financial aid and really kind of take virtual tours. Pretty cool website. If you're an app person like my teenagers, then there's a great app called College Go, which will allow them to explore colleges that way. So again, spending some time this summer on the app, on the website, doing some SAT practice will put you way, way ahead of the game when it comes time for school to start again.
Sounds great. So go to those websites. Also, there's a lot more involved besides this. There's visiting colleges, putting your best foot forward. I mean, these are great tips that everybody should find out about. One more time, just repeat those websites for me.
So it's bigfuture.org, and College Go is the app.
Okay, perfect. Dr. Nicole Hurd, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Dene Domian joins us now. He is a principal at Tailored Solutions. Good to speak to you today.
Good morning, Ron.
We're talking about, a recent survey took place. Tell us about the survey and what some of the results were and how you react to them.
Yeah, thanks for asking. We've at Edward Jones, we celebrate May 29th, or 529 Day, and 529 Awareness Month as a way to increase awareness for 529 plans and the importance of saving for college. So in our annual survey, what we found is actually pretty unfortunate, because what we found is that 7 out of 10 of the respondents don't know what a 529 plan, even though it is probably the best way to save for a college education, which we all know is one of the most important things that we can do for our children. So that was one of the things that we found in our survey.
Yeah, I think probably 401k is all that most lay people know about any type of savings.
That's right. Yeah, it's very unfortunate because, again, you know, college education is so important, and we're really trying to create awareness, and that's one of the reasons that we do the survey.
Just out of curiosity, are there things between 401 and 529? Are there that many? I mean, are there like...
That's exactly right.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot. All right. Yeah, saving for college, and it gets more expensive all the time, doesn't it? It's kind of like you have to do this now.
Absolutely. I mean, you never hear the, or you never read the headlines that say that the cost of college is going down.
Yeah.
Every single year, the cost of tuition continues to rise. And the statistics that you also read about, the mounting debt for graduates today, it's outstanding. So just knowing that there is a convenient, simple way to actually save for a college education, it's really unfortunate that more people don't know that it's available to them.
Yeah. There isn't much time to save for college education, though, is there? Because college takes place before you're like 20 years old. And
that's absolutely right.
Yeah. So, I mean, so this program is kind of tailored for that reality?
Right. So the beautiful thing about a 529 college savings plan is that it's convenient, it's tax-friendly, and while some people may think that you have to have a lot of money and be wealthy to actually save for college, that's absolutely not true.
Mm-hmm.
You can start saving for, in a 529 college savings plan even before your children are born. It's a great way to kind of think about whether, you know, if your family values a college education and you want to give that gift of a burden-free college education, from the burden of college debt, absolutely, you should start planning today. You know, you can do it, like I said, even before your children are born. And that gives you plenty of time to contribute, whether, you know, you write a lump sum or contribute monthly. It all adds up.
Yeah. Well, you couple that with doing well in school and getting some small little scholarships here and there, and you're probably going to be okay. But I guess you do have to do something. I think that most people are intimidated by going to investment counselors or financial counselors. I suppose that's the best way to categorize Edward Jones and companies thereof. They're kind of intimidated by it. Why would that be?
You know, I think that there are a lot of things to think about. When families are trying to juggle their retirement savings and thinking about whether they put more money into their 401k or put more money in savings, or do they pay down their mortgage, and then you couple that with, you know, two or three kids, you know, thinking about sending them to college, it can really be overwhelming. But when you break it down and really start thinking about where your priorities are and what your family values are, given that a college education is one of the most important things that you can do for your children, it's worth taking the time to do a little research. And maybe, you know, that research can be online. You can visit with a financial advisor. When it's a decision this important, it is worth stopping and doing a little self-education.
Yeah. So tell me about Tailored Solutions.
Yeah, so my role at the firm is to make sure that our financial advisors are equipped with the knowledge and the information that they need to present tailored solutions to their clients to help their clients meet their financial goals.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we make sure that our financial advisors are very well equipped to help our clients manage through all of this.
Okay. And no intimidation involved, that you just go in there and be yourself and state your situation, and they will suggest programs that reach that goal.
That's exactly right. And for those who are saving for college, it's very likely that a 529 plan is going to be a pretty solid answer for that.
Okay. Where do we go for more information?
Great. So you can find more information at our firm's website, which is www.edwardjones.com.
Mm-hmm.
There's also additional information at collegesavings.com.
Mm-hmm.
So again, don't wait another day. Start doing your research and start saving for that college education for your kids.
Well, this is the little goose in the butt that they needed to go ahead and do something like this, because the earlier you do it, the better, certainly, but it's also never too late. And you know, why wouldn't you do it? What would be the reason for not doing that, for just making the contact and asking some questions? So
I think probably procrastination is probably one of those reasons. And like you said, some people think that it's really complicated, and it's really not. So, you know, kind of get those things out of your mind and start saving today.
Perfect. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. I'm so polite. really. When it comes to doing interview, I'm so polite with them, and then, you know, then I expound upon them before or after, and it's not really fair. Whatever. Do you like calamari? I think calamari is like squid or octopus or something. It's that tentacle thing. Tasty? I know. Doesn't it make you want to run out and have some calamari?
Hi, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But I hung up my boxing gloves to open the area's new favorite restaurant.
Here we go. It's called...
It's Headshots. Jesus, give me a minute, would you?
Sorry.
Hey, do you love calamari? Then you need to come to Headshots this month for our Carnival of Calamari. That's right, we got tons of great recipes all made with delicious chicken.
Calamari.
Calamari. You gotta try our famous 1-2 punch pasta loaded with shrimp.
Also says calamari.
Calamari. How about a nice beef lo mein piccata? And our spicy school bus fra diavolo? Forget about it. You've never had calamari until you've had the Eiffel Tower at Headshots during our carnival of I Could Have Knocked Joe Frazier on His Ass back in the day.
Oh my God.
Come in and ask for me, Bobby Calamari. Bobby Headshots. I'm the guy that owns the place.
We're going to start to wind it down at this point. We're going to wind it down. We're going in a downward spiral toward the end of the program right now. So prepare to exit. Now, when the program ends, I'm going to ask you to wait until your flight attendant tells you it's okay to stand up. Wait until the show has come to a complete halt. Otherwise, you may fall over. And then grab your carry-on luggage, which would be, you know, the luggage that you carried on, and then quietly exit the room in which you're listening to the program. You're going to probably experience some dizziness. That's expected. Don't go nuts because you're a little dizzy after listening to this program. It mentally screws you up for about 6 to 7 minutes after the show's over. So expect that. It's not really a horrible thing. It's kind of like a high that a lot of people go through, and they enjoy it. Very similar to working out, to the point where you can't breathe. No oxygen is going to your brain, so you get dizzy. That's considered a high. Or I could choke you. So I really don't. That's why I don't exercise. I don't want to get exhausted. And sweating all over my body is kind of not my goal in life. My goal in life is to be kind of comfortable in a comfortable environment, not to sweat from every pore to the point where my underpants smell and stink from sweat. I don't like that. Therefore, I shall not do it. Too much information. Too much information. Have a wonderful day. I wish you peace.